الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى أصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم زدنا علما وفقها في الدين، اللهم علمنا التأويل وفقهنا في الدين، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أما بعد، فحياكم الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome, beloved brothers and beloved sisters. This is our ninth class in a series of classes on the fiqh of Tahara. And we ask Allah to give us the benefit of the time together today, inshallah, between Maghrib and Aisha. To start off, to talk about the quizzes, we went over it last week, but in general I looked at the quizzes and the sisters did better than the brothers. So we need to, brothers, raise the himmah a little bit, inshallah. But inshallah, alhamdulillah, the brothers and the sisters, they both did well. Inshallah, in Handy's back, they have grades on them, inshallah. For the sisters, the papers.
Yeah, the brothers. I can give it to them.
This is for the sisters.
These?
Yes. Inshallah. But inshallah, we're going to begin today the next chapter, or a new chapter, in the chapter or in the general heading of Tahara. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, may Allah have mercy on him, he began the book by talking about the types of water. Because in order to purify, one has to know which types of water one can use. And so we covered that chapter in detail, alhamdulillah. And now, Shaykh Ibn Hajar, he begins a new chapter within the general heading of Tahara. And this new chapter is called the chapter of Al-Aniya, Bab al-Aniya. And the reason why he mentions Aniya in Arabic, it means vessels or utensils or things that are used to hold liquids, that are used to hold water. And why does he mention the chapter on the Awani or the vessels after mentioning water? The reason for that is that in order for us to use water, then we have to use it, have a utensil or a vessel to hold that water in. So now that we know what purifies water and what is pure water and what is impure water, now Shaykh Ibn Hajar, from his fiqh, is that we know what type of containers we can use in order to hold this water, in order to use that water for purification, to make wudu and to make ghusl. So the order or his fiqh of presentation of the chapters is first to talk about water, then to talk about the vessels that water is held in, and then after that he speaks about the ghusl and the wudu and how to remove impurity, different means of removing impurity. So now, as we talk about the vessels that can hold water, which is the title of this chapter, the Arabic word is aniya. And aniya is the plural of the word ina. And ina in Arabic refers to anything that's used to hold a liquid. And the plural of ina is aniya or awani. And things that are used to hold dry things are generally not called aniya, they're generally called dharf or some other terms. But Ibn Hajar, he begins with this hadith, and I'll first read the hadith and then continue with this explanation. عن حذيفة ابن اليمان رضي الله عنهما قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشربوا في آنية الذهب والفضة ولا تأكلوا في سحافها فإنها لهم في الدنيا ولكم في الآخرة. متفق عليه. This hadith is narrated on the authority of Hudayfa ibn Yaman that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not drink in silver or gold vessels, and do not eat in plates that are made from these precious metals. Indeed, such things are for them in the dunya and for you in the hereafter, in the akhirah. This is a very amazing hadith, a lot of knowledge contained in this hadith, as we'll inshallah explain. But first, let's talk about what the Prophet ﷺ meant when he said, indeed it is for them in this world and for you in the afterlife. Who is them and who are you? Here, what is the Prophet ﷺ, he intends by saying it is for them, it is in opposition to the word for you. And we know who you is, because the Prophet ﷺ was speaking to the Sahaba, the believers. And since everybody in this world are divided into two categories, they're either believers or disbelievers. They're mu'mineen or kafireen. So since you refers to the mu'mineen, then them can only refer to the kafireen, people who disbelieve, who do not believe. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that these gold and silver utensils are for them, for the disbelieving people in this world, and for you in the day, in the akhirah, in the paradise. And this is called muqabala in Arabic, a juxtaposition between these two terms. So the gold and silver containers, in according to the Sharia, is similar to the silk. It's similar to silk, and it's narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, he once picked up some silk and some gold, and he said that these two things are forbidden for the men of this ummah, and they're permitted for the women. They're permitted for the women of this ummah, or of my ummah. So he held the silk and the gold in his hands, and he said, this is only permitted for the men, for the women. And it's not permitted, it's forbidden for the men of the ummah, gold and silk. And so from this text, we see that silk, as well as gold, is permissible for women. It is halal. It is allowed for women to use silk and to use gold as jewelry, as earrings, as necklaces. This is allowed for women. A woman, she can use silk for her clothing. She can use it for bedding. She's allowed to use silk in any way that she likes because it's permissible for women. They can purchase clothing that is made out of silk. But for a man, if he buys a shirt or a clothing and it says it's made out of silk, then this was forbidden by the Prophet ﷺ for the men of this ummah. And we're going to talk about the wisdom behind this prohibition shortly, inshallah. So a man, he's not allowed to use silk except in certain cases of necessity. In the case of durura, the scholars, they say if there's a small amount of silk, for example, the lining of a pocket sometimes is made out of silk, or if a person, he has a skin illness, itches or scabies or those type of diseases, they have to use silk, or even for some types of surgery, they use silk in the battlefield. This is allowed in cases of durura, in cases of necessity. However, generally speaking, the man is not allowed to use silk, although the woman, she's allowed to wear and use silk. So the hadith, this hadith that we read about now, it says, do not eat and drink from the utensils of gold and silver. This encompasses both men and women. So this hadith, it is restricting the usage of gold for women, they're not, and for men. They're not allowed to drink out of a cup. If you have a cup that's made out of gold or made out of silver, we're not allowed to drink from it. Or if you have a fork or a spoon that's made out of silver or gold, this has been forbidden for both men and for women. And so we're also going to talk about the wisdom or the reasoning behind this prohibition. So the in all cases, men are not allowed to use gold, nor are they allowed to use silk. Now in this chapter, the Shaykh Ibn Hajar, he's going to talk about the types of containers that are used for water. For example, water skin. He'll talk about containers made out of skin, made out of wood, the containers of non-Muslims. This is also a common question, is when we have containers that are used by non-Muslims, are we allowed to use those containers? These are all things that will be covered in the forthcoming chapter, inshallah ta'ala. So the scholars, may Allah have mercy on them, they took this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not eat and drink in vessels made out of gold and silver, and they made qiyas, or juristic analogy, and they said that gold and silver utensils also applies to all other usages of gold and silver. And so the ulama, the majority of the ulama, they said we're not allowed to use anything made out of gold and silver in terms of like making a pen. If it's a pen made out of pure gold, we're not allowed to use it. Or any other type of instrument that is made out of purely gold and silver, this is not allowed. Even for a woman, she's only allowed to use gold and silver as jewelry. But can she have, for example, a cup or a container for makeup that's made out of gold? No. The ulama, the majority of the ulama, they say no. This prohibition extends to all things. And the reason for that is that when the Prophet ﷺ forbade the gold and the silver, he forbade it for a specific reason. And it wasn't only because of drinking from the glass or eating from the plate that's made out of gold and silver, but the majority of ulama, they say that this is the most common usage of gold and silver to make cups and to make plates. So the Prophet ﷺ mentions something that is more common, and that automatically includes what is less common. This is something that is well known in Arabic language, that you mention what is well known. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that gold and silver, do not eat and drink from these vessels, because this is what generally people use gold and silver for. In that time, they didn't use gold as much to make pens and other instruments. So he's mentioning what is common, but the ulama, they say what is intended, and this is called the mantuq and the mafhum. The mantuq of the hadith is the spoken words of the hadith, but the mafhum is what is intended behind what is intended by the speaker. And in order to properly understand the hadith, we have to look at not only the mantuq, the nataq in Arabic means what is spoken, the literal speech, but also the mafhum, what is understood. And this is how we properly understand the text. So the ulama, they say that the mafhum of this hadith is that all things taken from gold and silver are forbidden. Any type of instrument, and this again is for both men and women, whether it's a bag or a pen or anything else. And Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, he's one of the ulama, he said that this you can establish this prohibition either through analogy or through the text itself. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِنَّهَا لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. He says, it is for them in the dunya. And what does it refer to here? It refers to gold and silver in general, according to some of the ulama. It, إِنَّهَا, it refers to all gold and silver, not just the containers, but the thing itself, the currency itself, or the material or the precious metal itself. And again, we're going to discuss why this prohibition, what is the wisdom behind this prohibition. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not drink in containers made of gold and silver, and do not eat in the plates of these metals. So again, this extends to spoons and knives and pots and any types of cups that are drinking or that are drank from. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says it is for them in the dunya. And so the reasoning behind this, what is the wisdom behind Islam prohibiting the using of containers containing gold and silver? Is it something inherent to the gold and silver, or is it for some other reason, some secondary reason? Does anybody know? Secondary reason? Actually, there's two opinions amongst the ulama. There's an opinion that gold and silver themselves are inherently forbidden to use as utensils and objects. And I think you'll be interested in the reason why. They said that commerce, or in economic systems, gold and silver are the primary basis of currency. And it's the foundation of a sound economy, that gold and silver is exchanged between people, especially gold. And if every person, they started to take gold and make objects out of it and use it in their households, then the gold, and it would become stagnant. The gold would no longer be exchanged between people, but instead, everybody would hoard the gold and use it to build, you know, make beautiful things in their houses to show their wealth, and it would prevent the flow or the exchange of money in the society. And this would lead to the hoarding of currency and prevent, and it would stagnate the free flow of wealth within a society. And as you know, anybody who studies economics, a sound economy is when people are exchanging and buying and selling. When people begin to hoard, then this causes a negative effect on the economy. So some of the ulama, they said that because gold and silver, it was, and it is even today, it's still the foundation of the flow of wealth within a society. If people took that and made objects out of it, then it would stagnate the economy, the free flow of wealth within an economy, and it would lead to the loss of value of products, because there would be no wealth to purchase those products, And then the wealth, the value of things would become devalued. And people would hoard the gold and silver. They would build big objects made out of gold and silver, and there would be nothing to trade between the people. And again, this is, leads to stagnation in an economy. So some people would say there's not enough cash. There's not enough cash to spend. People don't have money. Where is it? Everybody's put it in the house and made objects out of it. Made all their gold, their dishes, and they made objects out of gold and silver. So then people don't have cash to spend, and then there's no trade between people, and this leads to harm within the society. So this group of ulama, they say the prohibition of using gold and silver is inherent in gold and silver, because this is used in terms of trading between people in society. And this is interesting also because when we discuss rubies and diamonds, and they're not prohibited. And this ta'aleem, or this reasoning, it goes along with that. Because rubies and diamonds are not used to trade in terms of currency. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't forbid drinking from a vessel that has diamonds in it. And this reasoning could explain why. Because diamonds are not used to buy and sell. People don't generally buy things with diamonds. They generally just keep them. But then some scholars, they would respond to this, they as a response, and say that this might not be the reason, or this is not a sound reason, because why are women allowed to keep jewelry? Right? If women are allowed to keep jewelry, then, and also some women have a lot of jewelry, a lot of jewelry. Sheikh Atiyah, he mentions that when Gandhi went to the British Parliament to negotiate the independence of India, he brought his own goat with him, and he used to milk it, and he said that I wanted to offer him food, and he said, I'm independent. I don't need anything from the British. I'll milk my own milk, and I have whatever I need from this female goat. And then they said to him, we don't want to give India independence because we provide support for its economy. And Britain, it's doing a favor to India by keeping India as a protectorate under the British economic system. So Gandhi, he said, the women in India, they have enough gold to last our economy for 50 years. This is what he said in the British Parliament. And really, actually, it's well known in India and Pakistan, women have a lot of gold. They keep a lot of gold. So if this gold is being kept in large quantities, kilos of gold, by women, isn't this going to harm the economy? And why didn't the Prophet ﷺ forbid women then from having gold? So this is the response that these ulama say, that if the reason was that it would harm the economic system, then why are women allowed to keep so much gold? Tons of so much gold, especially in the Indian culture. I don't know about in the Arab culture. Is it the same? Yeah, probably the same. Right? No. So this is one response by the ulama. They say that perhaps that is not the reason why the Prophet forbade it. And in the Kitab al-Amwal by Abu Ubaid, he gave a response that supports this first opinion, that it's to protect the economy. He said that some of the early ulama, they prohibited women from keeping more than 400 dirhams worth of jewelry. So he said that this was to prevent women from hoarding too much wealth, so that it would be left to flow in the economy. However, the Jumhur of the ulama, they said that this is not correct to say that women can only have 400 grams of gold, because Allah says, وَمَنْ يَنْشَأَ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. A woman, she grows up around hilya, around jewelry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't say that she grows up around jewelry if it was restricted. And as you know, of course, وَلَوْ آتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَهُنَّ قِنْطَارٌ. Qintar is like, I think, a ton, huge amount of gold. So the Qur'an or the hadith do not restrict how much gold a woman can keep. So this restriction of the wealth of a woman, it is not, it doesn't have a basis in the Qur'an nor in the Sunnah. Now we have the position of the ulama that state that gold and silver are not forbidden because they're a currency, but they're forbidden for a secondary reason, for a tangential reason, And the reason for that, they say, is that gold and silver are precious metals that the poor and the rich, young and old, everybody knows that gold and silver are something so valuable that you use to buy and sell. Even a child grows up, he knows the value of gold. So if a rich person, he takes gold and silver and makes containers and makes decorations out of it, and then the poor person sees that, this will break the hearts of the poor. The poor, they know the value of gold and they don't have it. And so they see somebody using gold and silver, and it breaks their heart. Say, this is what we used to buy food and you're using it as a container. And we don't even have enough to even get a container made out of perhaps clay or wood. So seeing the rich using these utensils, it hurts the poor. And out of rahmah for the poor, out of the sensitivity of Islam for the well-being of society and to prevent jealousy and harm between the different classes, Islam forbade this type of ostentation of using gold and silver so that the poor will not be jealous and will not feel harmed, will not break the hearts of the poor. When they see the wealthy eating and drinking from what is normally used to buy and sell things. So these ulama, they said that perhaps this is a more sounder reason, that it would break the hearts of the rich and break the hearts of the poor by seeing the rich eating and drinking from these utensils, because they know that gold is a valuable currency. And to drink from something, it's a sign of a type of arrogance. And also, they give another reason, and it goes back to the principle that gold and silk is forbidden for men and not for women. So they say, what is the secret, or what is the hikmah, or the wisdom for allowing women to use gold and silk, but not allowing men? There must be a reason related to the gold and the silver being allowed for men, and being allowed for women, and not being allowed for men. So they say that the reason, according to some ulama, is that silk is something soft and comfortable and very relaxing for the body of a person. And they say that this excessive comfort of silk, it softens the manliness of a man, where he becomes soft and used to excessive comfort. And this is not befitting of the manliness of a person, because then he will incline towards relaxation and comfort and easy living. And he will not be able to bear the what is required of him as a man, for example, defending Islam, defending the borders of Islam, or taking care of family. This requires strength. And if he gets used to this easy, comfortable living, he will not be able to have that quality, that manliness, which is not befitting of men, but it's more befitting of women, because that is their nature to be. They do not have the requirement of defending the borders of Islam and other such things. And we see that in an interesting example in history is when Yusuf ibn al-Tashibi, he was one of the Muslims who lived in Maghreb, in North Africa. So one of the kings in Spain, they invited him to come and help defend them. The Christians, they had disputes in Andalus, in southern Spain, the Visigoths, amongst one another. So they invited the Muslims to come to the Iberian Peninsula, to the southern Spain. And so Yusuf ibn al-Tashifin, he was one of the Muslims that came to help this Christian king against some of the other Christians. And after the battle was over and the Muslims had won, that Christian king, he invited Yusuf ibn al-Tashifin and his army to stay in Spain and to stay in his comfortable quarters and to have an easy living and to enjoy after having the victory. And Yusuf ibn Tashifin, he refused. He said, no. He said, my men, they grew up in the desert. They grew up in a hard life, and they're strong, and they have a lot of energy for Islam. But if they come here and they relax and enjoy the easy living and get used to the comfortable life of Andalus, then they'll lose this strength and this strongness that they grew up on. And that they developed. So he said, let me go back with my army and let me keep this himmah, this strength and power that they had gotten by being raised in the desert. As you know, Bedouin life is a very harsh life. Growing up in a desert is very difficult. Even in the villages, If you go to some places in India, all the women have calluses on their hands. They work very hard. So this life, this has an effect on people. So some of the ulama, they say that men, if they wore silk and gold, they would lose that manliness that is required of Muslims in Islam. And so the prohibition for silk is only for men, in order that they remain strong, and it did not apply for women. And likewise, gold is something more, is something effeminate and not appropriate for men. So this is another reason that those people who said that gold is forbidden for a secondary reason, not because it's a currency. And a person may also say that gold and silver has been forbidden since drinking from these vessels makes a person arrogant. If somebody has a gold cup, he drinks it, he might get high-minded. He might think, I'm better than everybody else. I have a gold cup and they drink from a plastic cup. So this could lead a person to have a type of arrogance. And of course, Islam forbids arrogance. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, a person who has even a grain of arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise. So this type of drinking, it would lead a person to become arrogant, and to think he's better than the poor and better than others. So this is one of the other reasons. And finally, there's another reason also that the ulama mentioned. And they say that the gold and the silver, it goes back to what the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهَا لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. It is for them in this close life, in the worldly life. What does the Prophet ﷺ mean, it is for them? He means that people who use gold and silver and these fine utensils and even castles of gold and silver, they become inclined towards the dunya. They become attached to the worldly things. Their hearts become inclined towards the worldly things. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, إِنَّهَا لَهُمْ. It's for them because they sold their afterlife for the worldly life. They didn't want to believe, they wanted the fast things of this life, so it's for them. They incline towards the dunya, it's for them. And they have no share in the akhirah. وَهُوَ and هُوَ لَكُمْ and it's for you in the akhirah. For the believers, they went away from the worldly life and they went towards the akhirah. So the wisdom is that they went away from these pleasures of this world in order that they have a great share in the akhirah. So in the words of the Prophet ﷺ itself, we find the reasoning that it's for those who leave these luxuries of this world in order to attain the luxuries of the afterlife. So this is again another one of the reasons, another one of the wisdoms that the Prophet ﷺ and Islam and Allah forbade the gold and the silver. Now coming back to the question that I raised, or that we mentioned earlier, now there's vessels, there's cups that can be made out of rubies, or they could be made out of crystal, and they're encrusted with these rubies and these fine, valuable gems. And some of these gems are far more valuable than gold. Some diamonds, if you took the weight of a diamond and compared it to gold, the diamond is worth far more than its weight in gold. So why didn't the Prophet ﷺ forbid using these gems and rubies and drinking from these goblets and these fine vessels that they have? Why isn't there a prohibition for these things, although there's a prohibition for the gold and the silver utensils? The majority of the ulama, actually, they say that these gems, these valuable vessels, they don't fall under the general prohibition of gold and silver. They don't come under that prohibition, but rather they're forbidden for another reason. They're forbidden because it's wasteful. It's a wasteful use of money. Tabdir bilmal, it's a waste of money, and it's using money in a superfluous way where it doesn't bring benefit to a person. So instead of putting that wealth in a vessel, they could use it to build or to use it for some beneficial cause. And the scholars, they say the Prophet didn't forbid the gems and rubies to be used as vessels because they're not currency and they're not well known to the poor. And if we go back to the reason that using gold breaks the hearts of the poor, the majority of the poor and people in general, they don't differentiate between a goblet that's made out of crystal or made out of diamond. It's not something that's used as currency. It's not something that is well known amongst people, and they cannot differentiate between artificial, what they call manufactured gems, and real gems, it's not something that's so well known and so common. But gold, everybody knows gold. Gold is taken as a god amongst people. So gold is well known to all people in all classes of society, and for that reason, seeing people drinking from it would cause harm and break the hearts of the poor. Although seeing people or having people drink from goblets, it doesn't bring that same type of harm and harshness to the hearts of the poor. And also, the scholars, they mention that even some people, they have made statues out of these gold and silver rubies, and these, they use those, even they made a Buddha statue out of these rubies of gold and silver. But the prohibition, again, is not related to the value itself, but it's related to the effect that it has on the hearts of the poor. It's not the value. One little diamond is much more valuable than a lot of gold. But it's the effect that it causes and it has on the hearts of the poor, as well as the other wisdom, which is that it's used as for buying and selling, and it harms the currency amongst the people. So the principle that we learn from this hadith, and we'll finish with this inshallah, is that gold and silver vessels are forbidden for eating and drinking, and for all other uses, because they have the same wisdom behind it, which is that we should not use what has been used as a currency to as an instrument or as a cup or a vessel. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is for them in this world and for us in the afterlife. It is for them, the people of the world, they enjoy these things, the fast things of this life, that is for them to enjoy, but it is for the believers, but those who have patience. It is for them in the afterlife, in the paradise, those who adhere to the commands of Allah, they will have these things in the next world. And what is the punishment for those who use vessels of gold and silver? Is there a punishment for that? That will actually be mentioned in the next hadith, the next forthcoming hadith, inshallah, talks about the punishment of those who use these utensils of gold and silver, and inshallah we'll talk about that next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So this is this will bring us to the end of the chapter. Wallahu a'lam, wa jazakum allahu khair, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And inshallah, if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask any questions that you have. They're related to the topic, or even if they're not related, inshallah, you're welcome to ask, inshallah. Otherwise, I'll have to ask you questions. Yes, Brother Bilal.
You mentioned that gold is not allowed for vessels. It's allowed for women and children.
Yes.
But is the platinum ring allowed for men?
For men, platinum is allowed. It doesn't come under the prohibition of gold and silver. Platinum is a different type of metal. And again, the reasoning behind that, even though platinum might be more expensive than silver or than gold, but again, it goes back to the reasoning, does it break the hearts of the poor, and is it used as a currency? Of course, the ulama, they have different opinions, but as you can see, it's not related to the value itself. I mean, a man can have a ring with a diamond in it. Is it haram? It's not haram, it might be a waste of money, but it cannot say that it's prohibited by this hadith. And that goes again, it goes back to the reasoning behind the prohibition. Either it breaks the hearts of the poor, or because gold and silver is a currency, it's like wearing money on your, that's showing off, and it's very hard on the poor. Allah knows best, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Yes, brother.
So if one found a vessel of gold with water in it and made wudu with it, would that be invalid?
It's a very good question. Actually, we're going to, that's going to be coming up next in one of the chapters in one of the next ahadith. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the ruling in that, inshallah. Any other questions? Sisters, if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask.
Is there any other instrument that has gold in it? Like, is there a lot of electronic instruments nowadays that have gold or silver?
Right, gold and silver plating. That might come up as a different ruling, which we're going to talk about. When things are plated, like a pen, sometimes a pen, there's a metal part that's plated with gold. That has a different ruling. If it's used in an electronic product, like a computer, is it solid gold, the connectors, or is it just gold plated? Probably it's usually gold plated, I would think, right? Yeah, so I haven't heard this question, but I know the gold plating is allowed. It's there. We'll see, actually, that the hadith will talk about it, but gold plating, it doesn't have the same ruling as being solid gold. Some of the scholars, they say, weigh the amount of gold that was used to plate it, and if it was more than a gram, then that would come under the prohibition. But usually the amount of gold they use is very, very little in the gold plating and things like that. One question. Thank you, sister. The sister is asking, what is the ruling about glasses or plates with a small line or edge with gold on it? MashaAllah. Zakallah. Actually, there's a hadith coming up next, and I'll give you the answer now, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ, he drank from a cup that was broken, but they used silver to fix the crack in the cup. So they had used some silver to repair the cup, and he drank from it. So from this, the ulama, they say if it's a small amount, like a ring of silver or a ring of gold, then in that case there's no harm, because the Prophet ﷺ, he also used a cup that had a crack in it and it had silver on it. So for that reason, there's no harm, inshallah, to use that, inshallah ta'ala. There's no problem with using the bowl or the plate that has that small amount of gold on it. Wallahu a'lam. Jazakumullah khair. Any other questions? Yes, brother?
And what about plating?
Plating, right. We're going to cover that, I think, in the forthcoming, one of the coming hadith. But to give you a quick answer, there is a difference of opinion, or there is an opinion that the plating, if it's very little, that it doesn't have any weight in itself, then there's no harm in it. And this is based on what Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he became the Khalifa, he was in Damascus, and they had written some things on the wall using silver. And he was so scrupulous for his religion, he said, I want to remove this from the wall. Why are we using silver for this? He could write it. So he wanted to take it off the wall. So, but he gathered the ulama, and he said, what is the ruling on this? Does this come under the tahrim? Is it forbidden, like the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, or not? So the ruling that they came up with is that if they were to remove that writing and weigh the silver, if it had more than a gram's weight of silver, then that would come under the prohibition. But they found that it was so thin, so little, that it didn't have any weight, so then in that case they allowed to leave it. They allowed him to leave, he left it there. So if the silver plating is so little that it doesn't have any weight, which is generally the case on most things, then in that case it would be allowed. Wallahu ta'ala anam. And we'll go into more detail, inshallah. We'll come to that hadith, inshallah. Yes, brother Mira?
Actually, it's a follow up from the incident that you just mentioned. There was a program that showed basically the renovation of Masjid al-Nabi and how they expanded it all.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a lot of writings were made from wood, and then they were covered with gold bulk. Gold paper.
Right.
They cover it up with gold paper. So if you take all those writings up and just remove the gold bulk, it's definitely way more than the weight that you mentioned. And it's used in Masjid Nabawi.
In the Masjid Umawi, right?
Nabawi.
Masjid Nabawi.
Yes.
The Masjid Nabawi, they have writing, and Masjid Nabawi made out of gold?
No, not the writings were made out of wood, but they used the gold paper to cover that entire, just make it look as if it was gold.
Right. No.
So they've actually used a lot of, and if you take just that gold bulk out, and just weigh that certainly way more than the weight that you mentioned. And it's used in Masjid al-Nabawi.
Right. I'm not familiar with the writing there in Masjid al-Nabawi, but I can look into it, inshallah. See what the ulama would say. Of course, there's ulama there in Masjid Nabawi that are much more knowledgeable on this issue. So,
but even the minarets, one of the minarets was actually dipped in gold and
I would have to look into. You have to look at, when that was done, and if it was approved of by Brahma, things like that. I mean, to dip a minaret in gold, it's a lot of gold.
One of the edges, for instance, like
the tip of a minaret or something like that. Allahu A'lam, I have to look. Sometimes there are stories that you hear in historical accounts, but you have to check the authenticity also of those historical accounts, and you have to look into that, inshallah. So I can check and see if I find anything on that issue, inshallah. Is that cool? Okay. Yes, Ustaz Ahmed?
What about the vessels that they are made of any other metal that look like gold? For example, yellow copper, for example, sometimes I don't know if it's the case of vinegar.
No. A very, very good question. We have, the brother's asking about when you have, like, for example, gold colored forks and spoons and knives, and it looks like gold. Is that forbidden? As far as I know, it's not forbidden, because it's just a color. Even if you have a watch, it looks like silver, if it looks like gold. So I don't know how they say it's not forbidden. It's only if it's real gold or real silver. But even the silver, the ulama make an exception for men. The Shafi school, they allow a ring. A man can wear a ring made out of silver. But in terms of the things that look like gold color, the coloring, as far as I know, it doesn't make it forbidden. It's just only if it's really real gold. Allahu
A'lam. But the reason here is common between the two cases. I mean, all the reasons that you mentioned for first.
Right, if the poor person sees it, he might say, oh, this person has a brand nice gold watch or something like that. Allahu A'lam, I mean, you can tell him, say, you know, you can see where you bought it. Say, I bought it at Target or something, so it's not that valuable. Allahu A'lam, should you want to avoid it? If it's gold color, actually, the ulama say you should avoid it. Like, if you have a gold watch, gold color, the ulama, they say you should avoid it. Even if it's not real gold. Why? Because somebody else might think it's gold. And so they'll see you wearing it, and they'll think that you're wearing gold, and they might think it's something permissible, or they might be encouraged to imitate. So they say it's good to avoid that color, you're right. In order that other people might don't get the wrong impression. Allahu. Very good question. Maybe we have time for a couple more questions. Yes,
sometimes for the paint of the tip, they use silver.
For which thing?
For the teeth.
For the teeth, yes.
So the teeth, they use the silver. Sometimes we saw some people are using
very good question.
Gold.
No. What happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, somebody had injured his nose, so he put a nose made out of some type of metal, but it kept becoming infected. As you know, the metal that's not pure, it causes a reaction. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, can I make a nose out of gold? The Prophet ﷺ allowed him to do that. So the scholars, they say if a person needs it to repair a tooth or, you know, to use it for filling, then it's allowed in that case. It's a necessity and it's allowed. But what about those people, they like to get a big gold tooth like the rappers and those people, right? Is that allowed? It's not allowed as a decoration. I know a lot of people, you know, sometimes they get the gold, they don't need it, but they just want it to show that they're tough or something like that. This is not allowed. Allahu knows best, inshallah. Is there any other questions? Sisters, last chance, any other questions? شما جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارك الله فيكم وعلى موليا شما جزاكم الله خير